Good afternoon and welcome to Good News Updates with Living Compassion. My name is Anne and I have been joined, I believe, with Jan. Jan, are you there?
I am. Hi, Anne.
Hey, technology works. Isn't that amazing?
Yeah.
Anyway, we have been invited to talk during this Good News Update about the kickoff workshop for the Focus for the Year, Anjali. And as most people, I think, know, we had a wonderful kickoff last Saturday for the Focus for the Year.
Yeah, it was wonderful. And I hope if folks didn't get a chance to be part of that workshop, I know they'll have a chance to see it through the website, too.
Yes, it'll be posted, and I actually want to watch it again because it was so absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I agree. I'm looking forward to that.
So do you want to share a little bit about what your favorite insights were from the workshop?
Oh, gosh.
Or I could...
It's where to start. Well, you know, the workshop was focused. We did a little bit of looking at what, you know, all that people had... some of the things people had seen from last year and where we ended up, and then looking ahead at, you know, the focus being Anjali. I'm not sure how we pronounce that. Do you know for sure? Is it Anjali?
I think so.
Yeah, Anjali.
I think so, yeah.
Anyway, that means offering, and what we were looking at is just what does that mean, you know, the offering, and as we were talking about it, just the whole idea of, you know, emptying our teacup, Anjali being the offering, emptying our teacup, or that whole concept of self, any identity that we have, which would be then the empty teacup that then is there for life to come in, to that we become the open space for life to flow through. Which I love.
Yeah, I love that too, that anything anything that is of value is the space, the emptiness in it. So a bowl is of value because of the emptiness around it, and the bowl contains that. Or a ship is of value because of the space, or a house, or, you know, you can think of anything. So in a sense, we're the container for life to flow through us. And if our cup is full of beliefs and assumptions and ideas, and let's face it, self-hate, conditioning, then there isn't any room, there is no space for life to flow through.
Yeah, that's really well stated. And it was interesting. I was practicing with that today, knowing we were going to be talking. And just, it's really a wonder, the empty teacup, at least for me in looking at it again today, is such a great visual. Because every time I found myself getting caught in something, an identity or an idea, a belief, I just had that visual of emptying the teacup. It was so wonderful. And then just going to the breath and saying, okay, what's life offering right now? Yeah.
Yeah, dropping that conversation and conditioned mind and just going to the breath. And I love the idea. I mean, I don't know if we'll actually do this, but I love the idea of a fundraiser for Living Compassion to sell cups, and then we can all have little teacups all over, and whenever we find ourselves caught in a conversation, we just grab a teacup and turn it upside down to metaphorically represent, okay, I'm letting go of this conversation.
Yep. I don't know, the visuals. I guess what I was also looking at today is, you know, we have all kinds of things we turn to in practice, you know, the breath, to be in the moment, letting go. And I just find it so wonderful that we're always offered something new to practice with. And now we're using the teacup as sort of that symbol of emptying the teacup so that we can practice that letting go of, like you said, identity, any content that's going on, the processes that are keeping us stuck. To be with, you know, the wisdom, love, and compassion of true nature, to practice that just over and over again. It's just a new way, sort of a new opening, a new invitation to do that.
Yeah, a new theme for looking at the same process. And, you know, I had so many favorite parts about the workshop, but one of my favorite things is that conditioned mind has no idea what emptiness is. And that really, when we come to a place of emptiness, that's when we have the possibility of experiencing fullness or, you know, satisfaction or whatever you want to call that. That I just love that in that paradoxical Zen way, that the only way to be fulfilled is to be empty.
Right, right. And, you know, actually, I was just recalling from the workshop, too, that this is really taken from the daily recollection, and blessed is the knowledge of emptiness, and that this is the year of just really exploring what that experience is, you know, over and over.
Yes. Yeah, and that it's not a doing, it's a not doing.
Yes.
You know, it's working to stop all the processes that are going on that keep us from knowing who we are as love and goodness and compassion.
Yeah, yeah. And I think it was Ashwini that so beautifully said, it's just that, you know, letting down that veil, you know, emptying the teacup, it's that the conditioning is that veil that keeps us from the wisdom, love, and compassion to our true nature, to authenticity. And, wow. We're going to practice this all year.
I know. Isn't that great? What I love about it is that we have a theme together as a Sangha to focus on and to work with, and then we get to share about it all year and work with different exercises. And, in fact, I know we're going to be working with the Big Bamboozle for the year in our sitting group, and I happen to see the first assignment, which fits perfectly with Anjali. So I'm just very excited. I mean, I just feel so incredibly blessed that we have a Sangha that we can practice with and that we have a focus for the year.
It's so true, yeah, because Sangha, well, we just learn so much from one another's experience and the sharing that goes on through everything. And that I also wanted to just mention, I think most people know this, but the year-long workshop, which this will be the focus of, you know, there's going to be the at-home workshop January 30th that is for the compassionate calendaring. And then the practice intensive and later radio shows with Sherry. So there's just all kinds of support to, you know, that is part of that work together at Sangha.
Yes, and Michael will probably mention this, but I think people can sign up till the 29th, I believe, but Michael will confirm that.
Good.
Yeah, and I think back to the, you know, that it's not about doing something; it's about the not doing. There's, you know, one of the things that we were remembering during the workshop was, I don't know who this quote is from. You might remember, but it's don't seek after enlightenment; simply cease to cherish opinions.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Then I was remembering that we didn't mention this in the workshop, but it feels connected, that the Rumi poem, you know, that our task is not to seek after love, but simply to remove all the barriers to love. So I love all those things because it's all pointing at what are we doing to keep ourselves from that which we already are.
Yes, yes. And through this practice this year, the emptying the teacups, you know, as a symbol of that, allows us to see all those things that keep us from being our authentic selves in that place where, you know, I just love the language that was used at the workshop, you know, the divinity within and that exists in everything that keeps us from that. We'll get a chance as we continue to practice this, dropping, emptying the teacup, to see what actually keeps us from that. You know, that's
yes,
such a
all
huge
those, all, oh, sorry.
No, that was it.
Well, all those opinions and beliefs we have about ourselves. And one other thing, I know we're coming to the end of our time, but one other thing I loved about the workshop was the visual that when we're meditating and we're holding our hands in the cosmic mudra, that we're holding Buddha nature in our hands as we sit, that we're holding that sacred emptiness there. And then how we talked about how we carry that in our hearts, that we carry that Buddha nature, that emptiness with us in life, and we can become the vessel for life to manifest through us.
Yes, it's beautiful. And it also just reminded me that that's sort of beautifully demonstrated in one of the short video clips that was part of the workshop, and I'm looking forward to seeing that again.
Oh, yes, yes. Well, Jan, it's 5, so I think we have to turn it over to Michael.
Thanks so much, Ann.
Oh, thank you. And thank you to everyone who organized the kickoff workshop and is working behind the scenes to make this year-long retreat possible. It's just going to be an amazing experience for everyone, I project.
Yeah, so definitely. Thanks again.
Thank you. And Michael, are you there?
Yes, I am. Great. Thank you, Jan. And thank you, Ann. Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, sir. How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. All this water that we're getting just makes me so very happy. And then, as those lovely folks were saying, we had that fabulous workshop, and we're kicking off a new year, and of course I get all my calendars and I get to fill in all of the things, and that makes me so happy. So yeah, it's a good life.
It is a good life. It's a very good life. And supported on all sides, including the rain.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. It's just perfection.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Perfection. I have announcements here unless you would like to.
No, I want to hear what you have to say. You have good news for us.
Yes, I do, always. Join Sangha in 2016 for a compassionate exploration of letting go who we think we are so we can be what we authentically are, true nature.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, the year-long retreat, Anjali, emptying your teacup, begins January 30th. Participants may pay in installments, so don't let anything stop you from this joyful and liberating journey.
Yes. You know, Michael, I will interrupt you right there because I want to launch on a little thing. You know, we have my teacher said that people, I think we talked about this not that long ago when I was talking about supporting practice financially and through participation, but he would say the only people who should donate are people who are benefiting. So that's why we never, you know, ask people to give in that, you know, you send a letter and do the fundraiser because we're going to do this or that, which is a fine. It's just not our approach because what we want is for people to give when they feel moved, when they know they're benefiting, and when they can. But finances and practice should never get confused to the point that someone listens to a voice that says, well, I can't do that because I can't afford it. Because what we want to do is practice, and then as we practice, what will happen for us is that we will be able to afford it. Now, if somebody is confused about what I mean by that, I'm happy to go into more detail, but just assuming that that people understand, as we let go of the things that are limiting us in our lives, then more of everything is available to us. And so we practice. That's the most important thing. And if we practice with the idea that I can't afford this now, but I'm practicing so that I can be a greater contribution to life, then that's a good exchange. And when I have the ability to contribute financially, then that's what I will do. So it's really important that that's a big one that the voices of self-hate, karmic conditioning will use on people. You know, well, you can't practice because you can't afford it. That's too expensive. You can't do that. And what we need to say is, well, actually, I can, and I'm going to. And that's not going to be something that stops me. So very important.
Yes. Yes. And I think I heard someone say on Good News Update, the idea of saying yes and trusting that the finances will be there, and that was always the case for her. And to kind of nip that conversation in the bud, that one with conditioned mind wants to start up.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, because there's always a way. If we want to contribute, there's always a way to do that. And when we're lit yeah. up, those ways are much more abundant and obvious. So that's why it's good to first be living a lit up life of practice. And that's not to say that as we practice, we're always in a happy place. That's not it. In practice, we're going to go through every difficult thing there is for a human being to go through. But with this practice, at least, our focus is on going through it together and going through it joyfully. We can go through very, very difficult karmic conditioning stuff, and we can learn to enjoy that process. And in fact, that's kind of what this practice specializes in. So, yeah, putting the kibosh on those you can't afford to practice voices.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And Ann was asking about the sign-up date, which I just looked up, and it's sign-up by January 28th for the year-long retreat.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah.
Oh, it's going to be so fun.
Yes. And as they were talking about also, the year begins with an at-home calendaring workshop on January 30th based on the principles of compassionate scheduling. That will allow us to keep ourselves open to what life calls us to do.
Yes. And yes. And I just saw that calendar. There's a calendar, you know, that goes with the calendaring workshop, and it's very, very cute. Anybody who wants to join us for that, one of the benefits is you get a year-long practice calendar, which is, again, I find it fun. I'm excited to have one. Now, because I am just, however we would describe somebody who loves organization more than almost anything in life, I have plenty of calendars, but I always find a good place for one more calendar. And I'm excited to have, this one's going to have a place of honor on my refrigerator so that I always know what's coming up. You know, when does this start? When does it end? Those kinds of things. I need to keep track of that as much as anybody else. Yeah.
And anyone who's not in the year-long retreat can sign up for the Compassionate Scheduling Workshop a la carte.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, which is another good point, right, Michael? In anything that we do, I mean, there are all kinds of things that people in the year-long retreat are going to be doing, or people who are doing this or scheduled for that or whatever. But everybody's welcome to join anything at any point. So, no, that was unclear. But anything that's on the schedule, people can certainly join. And as you say, a la carte, it's going to be a different cost, but that's okay.
Yes, yes, and I see here on the description of it that a couple of the items are available a la carte, like the calendaring workshop and the practice intensives, and there are a couple offerings that are available only to those registered for the year-long retreat.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I see your point, sir, and that is a good one. There actually are things that only people in the year-long retreat get to do, so I stand corrected.
It's all good information.
Thank you. Yes, sure. Thank you for that.
Sure.
Thank you.
Yep. And an exciting and atypical email class with you, Sherry, is coming up next month. The class will use the Socratic method, a form of inquiry and discussion using questions and answers to illuminate particular content or process.
Mm-hmm.
And participants will have 10 interactions with you, Sherry, in which you will offer guidance on a focus that is chosen by the participant.
Yes. Isn't that astounding?
Yes, it's great.
It really is. It's really amazing that because with almost everything, I mean, we can always be looking at whatever we're looking at, but usually in practice when we come to something, there's a theme. And so I might look at what goes on with me, but it's going to be about that theme. And with this, each person gets to pick the kind of their personal koan, their you know, whatever it is that goes on for them in practice that they keep struggling with, as we do with things in practice. And so we can, I get to be with that person back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, going deeper and deeper and deeper into that subject for 10 exchanges. I'm so excited about it.
That's great. That's great. Yes. Yeah, space is limited for that, so register soon. And finally, you, Sherry, and Ashwini will be at East West Bookshop in Seattle, Washington on February 5th to lead a workshop on the Big Bamboozle.
Yes, indeed.
Yes, and registration for this evening event will open soon.
I hope so, because it's going to happen soon.
And so for these opportunities, visit schedule.livingcompassion.org. And if you'd like to talk with Sherry tonight, you can make a show, put yourself in the queue by pressing *6 and then 1. And 5 minutes and one topic are a great pair that go together really well. And here we go, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
You're welcome. First caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Jill in Brooklyn.
Well, hello, Jill. How are you doing?
Hi, Sherry. I'm doing good. I'm doing good.
What's going on?
Well, I'm very excited to be on. I was just sitting here thinking, I hope I get on. and I'm first, which is great. So I was just, I did a meditation today, and I did the daily recollection, and I saw this, like, fascinating thing that I wanted to call and talk to you about. I guess what I saw was, so the first line, you know, I say silently in my head, and then I go to just reciting it. And I guess what I saw that, like, completely thrilled me was when I said it silently, the one line, it felt like somebody needed to be there to say that. But then the rest of it, nobody needed to be there. And I guess it just completely fascinated me, because it felt like the first line to say it silently, it somehow, I don't know if it was occupying the same place that I hear conditioned mind, but it was in the parking lot, or it was someplace close to that same. I don't know. It just felt, when I said it out, when I recited it, I really felt empty, I guess. And then when I said that first line, it felt like somebody had to be there to kind of, like, say it silently. I don't know if that makes any sense. But I didn't know if, anyway, that to me, I got very excited about that. Because,
And so, I just want to make sure I'm understanding you.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
With the first one, it sounds like somebody needed to be there almost to stay on track or something.
Yes.
Or to know, yes, I'm here and I'm saying this thing silently. But when you got into saying it, then it didn't require a you to be there saying it. It's like it was just saying itself.
Yes. 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 And I don't know if that will happen the next time I say it, but it was a really exciting contrast for me. It just felt like an experience of being in a Jill, and then being empty. Like, it was just this great little contrast to what those experiences are like. And it was very stark. And it was like night and day, dark and light. Mm-hmm. Like, it really was like, wow. Like that.
So was really... one of the one of the things that we talk about periodically is that, so almost everybody believes that what we call egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate is them, is who they are. So
right.
The voice that's talking in the head, all the beliefs and assumptions and opinions and memories and ideas and all that going on. People believe mm-hmm. that's who they are.
Mm-hmm.
And periodically we'll say something like, awareness doesn't need a someone to be aware.
Yes.
And of course that ego identity kind of goes, what? Because
mm-hmm.
what are you saying?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not necessary for life.
Mm-hmm.
And of course that is what we're saying.
Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's what you're describing.
Yeah. 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 It was, and I had a similar experience earlier today where I was walking down the street and I had to turn right, but I was, you know, paying attention to my body or my breath or something. And then all of a sudden I just stopped and the thought came in like, you just walked right by the street, and I just turned around and I was right there, but I had passed it. By two mm-hmm. steps or something. And that was one of those instances too where it's like, wow, there is something, there is a lot of awareness going on that, you know, whatever is, that's more than meets the eye. That's more than,
yes.
you know, yes. that the brain is absorbing.
And that's one of those where when we talk rather incessantly about being present so that the guidance from the intelligence animating us is available to us.
Mm-hmm.
So there you are walking down the street and you're lost in a discussion with somebody at work or
mm-hmm.
Thinking about what you're going to do, whatever. And you're six blocks past that street.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Now, it's not that the information wasn't there that mm-hmm. you just passed your street. But you weren't there to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in this case, you were, because you were focusing on the breath. You were present. Nothing else was going on. So when that information came in, you just walked past your street. Oh, you turn around. There it is. And you're on your way. And, of course, that clarity is available to us all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But mm-hmm. almost nobody is present to receive it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I just had another experience like that where, you know, our composter was supposed to be out of town or something, and then I noticed someone in the street who had compost, and they were walking towards where the composter is, and I thought to myself, is the composter back? And it was just this very interesting little thing, because if I hadn't been paying attention, I wouldn't have noticed that this person was carrying a bag of compost, or I don't know, I just feel like, yeah, this is, it is so fascinating. It's like
the world is a different place when we're present
place.
For it, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So I guess I'm just calling to relate those experiences and testify that in fact it is. It's a thrilling, thrilling place to be.
Yes. Now I want to say one more thing about it, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
Because I agree with you. It is thrilling.
Mm-hmm.
Now, there are people who would say, folks, that's a pretty low standard of thrill, okay, that you just heard you walk past your street or you saw somebody walking with compost. This is not, you know, this is not the big time.
Right.
But to have that experience, we realize that everything people are doing in order to have an extraordinary, special, meaningful life, what they're actually hoping for, even though they don't know it, when mm-hmm. they have that special, huge, big, meaningful, extraordinary life, they will feel the way you felt when that intelligence animating you gave you that guidance.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
We feel complete. We feel complete. We feel fulfilled. We feel happy.
Uh-huh.
Relaxed, peaceful, uh-huh. joyful.
Yeah, and I was laughing because I live in New York City, and you know, there's tons of entertainment around, And there's nothing better than that,
than that connection. It is so zen.
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yes.
Hello?
Sherry? Oops.
I hear you, Sherry.
Can I not? Oh, Michael?
Sherry?
Michael? Yes. Jill can hear me.
I can hear you. I can hear both of you.
Michael? I wonder if Michael can't hear either of us or just me.
I'm not sure.
I wonder if anybody else can hear us, Jill.
Yeah.
Well, let's finish that thought anyway. It's so zen. Somebody wants to know what is zen, and mm-hmm. the teacher says, have you had your lunch? And they say yes. Well, then wash your dishes.
Right.
And they go, oh, wow, okay, this is big. Yeah. And it is. It's everything.
It really makes, yeah, it's just, it. I think it just resonates when all those things line up and, you know, the resonance in this person, in this body and the vibration with everything else. I mean, it really is, it's special. No one should miss it.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. And it's so beautiful because it doesn't cost anything.
Right.
Anybody can do it. You know, a child can do it.
Mm-hmm.
A person who is not among the intelligentsia can do it. You know, mm-hmm. everybody, old, young, infirm, mm-hmm. healthy, whatever. Mm-hmm. Everybody can do it.
Mm-hmm.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you, Jill.
Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Take care.
Good night.
Bye. Good night.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Jill. You're listening to
There You Are.
I'm back. My line dropped.
Okay. Good.
Scramble to get back on. And we have another call here.
Good. Perfect. Thank you.
Sure. Next caller, you are now live on the air. And would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tracy.
Well, hello,
Hi.
Tracy.
Hello.
How are you doing?
I'm doing okay. Actually, I'm really doing great. And I run into these places where I know I need to empty the cup. And I'm really happy that I was able to call in.
Uh-huh. So what's that cup got going?
To know that feeling of just being in awareness, and I know that really easy line that gets crossed of moving into identification, and mm-hmm. the place that's been really rich for me is practicing with my boyfriend being in the dark room. And what I'm practicing currently with is just reflecting, like reflective listening. And it feels like if I can drop any conversation around, you know, his being in the dark room, then, you know, I just kind of go, you know, out and about, you know, on my day. And but I'm noticing that, like, I'm starting to choose not wanting to be around him in this place. And mm-hmm. I know that that's not practicing unconditional love. And so what I see about that is I start getting into a conversation around, you know, worry that he has no interest in awareness practice and, you know, how this is going to be for the next 20 years because he has no interest, you know. And so I see how I get worried that I'm in relationship with someone that doesn't have a, you know, any type of practice or commitment to wanting to live from a place of awareness. So,
Tracy, may I ask you something? May
yes.
I ask you about this? Okay.
Yes.
And so, does he know he's in the dark room?
Yes. He calls it just a funk.
Okay, so he knows that this is going on, but he has no interest in doing anything about it?
He is, I asked the question, I mean, he's familiar with this place, and so I've said, you know, what's helpful for you? And he said, I just need to, you know, find some inspiration and kind of do things my way, you know, my own way. And I'm like, okay. So yes, he knows it, and he gets resistant to. There's resistance to. There's resistance.
Okay. And so here's my question, because I always get a little squeamish when people start defining what is and what isn't unconditional love. So in your version of that, are you required to be with him as he does things his own way and looks for inspiration to get out of his funk?
Okay, I'm not sure. And so... I didn't quite catch that. Am I required to be in unconditional love as he does his own thing to get out of his funk?
Yes. So is your definition of unconditional love that you need to be with him as he looks for inspiration and does things his own way in order to get out of his funk?
That's a great question, because I can see how, I'm, wanting to just get out of the house and, keep my attention focused on where I want to focus it. And so I think there is some judgment that I need to be more an empty cup when he's in this place. And so I see it's kind of, it's slippery.
Yes, it is. And yes, it is. Because here's what I would encourage you to explore. You can be unconditionally loving. You can be a little empty teacup, but you are not required to be in any particular circumstances in order to do that, as you do that. So we practice so that we can be that regardless of circumstances. But that's not so. I'm sure you've heard me say any number of times, when I was young and looking at what I wanted out of an awareness practice, although I had no language for it, but I wanted to know I would be all right if I were in a concentration camp or in a wheelchair, because those seemed like the two kind of worst things that could happen to me. So was there a way for me to be okay under those circumstances? But it doesn't mean I need to be put into a concentration camp or a wheelchair in order to practice.
Yes, I'm with you.
Yeah. So very often, ego uses that kind of argument that unconditional love means you have to be in any circumstances and be okay. So you have to stay in a job that you hate. You have to stay, I know you don't hate your relationship, but you have to stay in a relationship that you hate. You have to live somewhere that you don't want to live. There are all of these circumstances in your life. And if you're the right spiritual person, you will stay in them until you're happy.
Yes.
And that's a con.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
So it's perfectly, in my world anyway, it's perfectly acceptable to say, love you like crazy. Call me when you got your inspiration and you're out of your funk.
Yes. Okay.
In the same way that we are prepared for that in reverse, right? So I have something going on. I'm in a filthy mood, whatever it is. I don't hold people to a definition of unconditional love that means they have to put up with me.
Yes.
Now, when I do call, then to be there. So my teacher's way of talking about it, you know, you watch somebody paint themselves into a corner and you just look the other way until they make their way out, and then you're there to welcome them.
Yes. Okay, that's helpful, because that is helpful, because I can see that piece of me just kind of going on my merry way, or you know, there is some judgment that I'm like running, or but yeah, and I can see that, and yes, there's, and I know I'm at my 5 minutes, and in terms of that place of being with someone that is, you know, in this dark room place, and you ask the question, are they aware that they're in a dark room place, and there is an awareness there, what might be a kind and next thing to say?
Well, yes, because in a disidentified, compassionate way, to make clear what's going on. So I'm in a funk, and I don't choose to do anything about it. So I need to understand that I'm not a treat when I'm in this state. And if I don't want to do anything about it, then I can't expect other people to put themselves in a place of being affected by what's going on with me. If I want to work on it, if I want to do something about it, then I can ask for the support and the assistance that I need as I work on this. But if I'm saying, no, I'm in essence happy where I am, then I just got to be all right with people saying, okay, you be happy there. We're not happy to be there with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's the very thing that can assist us to move on, right? So if, you know, we're so conditioned to put up with one another's conditioning, that's kind of a karmic definition of love, right? So you put up with my bad behavior, and I'll put up with your bad behavior, and now we have a relationship, and we call this love. You know, there might be something else going on, right? And so to recognize that I cannot do the stuff that I have always done under these circumstances, because it's not going to get me what I am trained to get out of this situation. That can be an inspiration to do something different. Now, when it's in a conditioned reality, what the way it's done is, so he's in a funk, and you know, you're stuck with his bad mood, and that's just it. And so then you have to grow resentful and angry and that sort of thing, because he won't be any different and there's nothing you can do and you're trapped. And then finally you leave the relationship because there's no alternative. And the other person will pretend that this is all true about him. I know nothing about him or what might be true about him. But the story very often is something along the lines of, see, that's what happens. You know, no, people just can't put up with how I really am. Well, from my perspective, that's not how you really are. That is called egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. Yeah. And it's something that you can work through if you choose to. And so I'm going to say, that's not what I signed on for. And so if you don't want to do anything about it, then you go, you know, you do it your way. And I love you. Yes, I care deeply about you. Yes, I enjoy being with you. Yes, not under these circumstances. So that's just, you know, you get to have it your way. I get to have it my way. And there we are. Yeah. Now we don't have to be bitter or angry with one another, blame one another for our lives or anything else, because we're each making our choices and we're living with our choices.
Yes. Yeah, it just sounds like such a grown-up, it sounds like a very grown-up,
very grown-up
approach. And
yes.
I see where I'm kind of, I've been, I don't know if squeamish is the right word, but really unsure about how, like I feel like if I bring up anything having to do with awareness practice, there's such resistance. And so, you know, anything that has a resonance.
Tracy, you don't have to do that. You don't have to do that. All you have to do is say what is so for you.
Yes. Okay. You know how
you like to handle your funk. I'm not enjoying this. I need to do something different. And this is what I'm going to do. It's as simple as that. He doesn't have to change. He doesn't. It's all you're talking. All you're focusing on is you and your choices.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Much easier.
That's way easier, so I don't have to worry about being a really good reflector.
Nope,
or...
you don't have to do any of that, although you might once you say what it is that you're choosing to do. You might be required to do a little reflective listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right, that's a different roadmap of emptying my cup than I thought, so that's super helpful.
Isn't that good? Many ways to empty a teacup. All right. Thank you, Tracy.
You have some. Yes, great. Thank you. Good night.
Yeah, let me know.
Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Tracy. Sherry, that was a genius conversation. Really super duper helpful.
Well, yeah, and I like the conclusion, you know, that there are many ways to empty a teacup. And in conditioning, there's one, right? There's one way to go about life. And, gosh, it's just not like that at all. Yeah.
Yes. I think what I was getting from your conversation is getting clear about what's my responsibility and what's not.
Yes.
Yeah, in terms of who there is to take care of.
Yes. And in that way, we can come from kindness and compassion. We're not blaming the other person. We're not anything.
Yeah.
It's just I what I'm choosing is this. And so that's what I'm going to be doing. So you know, it's a hard place when we're coming from conditioning that who you are and what you're doing doesn't need to have anything to do with me and vice versa.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, we often get into relationships so that things get so tangled up that everything about you reflects on me and is about me, and I need to take personally, and I need to accommodate or do something about or fix you or change you. And if we realize that that's karmic conditioning. And so if as Tracy started us out, you know, I choose unconditional love. There's no behavior that goes with unconditional love. There's no set of ways you have to act that go with unconditional love. Unconditional love is what's arising in each moment. So on occasion, you know, you may be in a funk and it's fine with me. You know, it's great. I'm doing this other thing. Doesn't matter. And another time, that's just not an energy that I want to be around. Now I have to take the responsibility for that, right? Because that's going to have an effect on our relationship, and that's okay. It is very grown up.
It's very grown up, yeah, exactly. As you were both talking about, it does seem very grown up and taking responsibility and ultimately very kind to everyone around us, seems like.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, it is. It is time.
Great.
So, I bet you have a sponsor for us.
How did you know that? Okay, sponsor message, and then we'll be right back, Sherry.
All right. Thanks, Michael.
Thank you.
What if you lived with your soul as your pilot? What skies would you fly out?
This great song by Trish Bruxford Culligan invites us to give voice to our hearts. Simply Celebrate offers you a variety of ways to express your heart, and one of those is by celebrating the people you love. Our one-of-a-kind customized celebration books are like magic mirrors that reflect all of the laughter, adventures, and delight that friends and family share. Clients tell us that this is the best gift ever. Give voice to your heart and give a gift of love that lasts a lifetime. Visit simplycelebrate.net and turn ordinary days into an extraordinary life.
Welcome back to Open Air, and we have another caller here, Sherry.
Oh, good.
Next caller, you are now live on the air, and would you please introduce yourself?
Hi, Sherry. Hi, Michael. This is Virginia.
Well, hey, Virginia.
Hi.
How are you doing?
Hi. I'm doing great. I'm very excited to be on the call, and so I'm kind of excited in general.
That's fun,
it's
huh?
What's that, Sherry?
That's fun.
It is
it's
fun.
It's fun
it
to be
fun.
Excited about life.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly, totally. And so I wanted to call as part of my commitment, my commitments for this year. I'm calling once a month, and I just want to say for anyone who might be listening that it's really has been helpful to mention to you that I would be calling once a month and to tell my Zen awareness coach I would be calling and then to put it actually on the calendar for every month when I would be calling. Kind of puts the squeeze on egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate.
Yep, heats things up.
Yeah, heats things up. Exactly, exactly. Mm-hmm. So so this is what I'm looking at, Sherry. I'm looking at this, I think what we talked about on over retreat about being awareness, being awareness itself. And what has been dropping in is that one of the stories that I have been believing was that there were periods of time throughout a day when I couldn't be aware, like I didn't have enough skill, for example, to be aware. And yeah, well, so what's interesting is as soon as that dropped in, then that space opened up.
Yes. You mean you saw that as
yes.
Silly.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah.
And exactly. Yeah, all of a sudden it was like, oh, it's been telling me I can't pay attention between 5 p.m. and 9 p.m. It's not really true, but that's what the belief was so strong, then that just obscured what was here.
Yes. Yes. That is so big, Virginia. That is so important. Oh, my gosh. I was on a call earlier today, and we were talking about this gal was talking about seeing how what has been framed for her in her story, the story that she listens to, is that when something happens to somebody, she leaps in to be helpful.
Mm-hmm.
And in the course of a conversation, I had used the word panic and the word urgent. And she'd never seen it that way. Right? Because the story that she heard was she was being helpful. But when she heard those other words and looked at the behavior, she realized that what she's always doing is just leaping to something to do, and often it's not the thing that she would do if she gave herself a little breathing room. So yeah. When we catch on to exactly what you're saying, that we listen to a story, we've listened to it for so long that we don't even question it. There's no reason to question it. It's just true. It's been proved over and over and over. Between 5 and 9 in the evening, it's just that's just how it is for Virginia.
Right.
And then it dropped in one day. What if that's not true?
Right. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
the
so
whole
you see
world.
The whole new world.
The whole world opens up. Yep.
Exactly, Sherry. Yeah, so a lot of excitement. And just a little corollary on that is another thing kind of dropped in around it over this last weekend. Another thing dropped in around very similar subject, which is there was another process. It's the process of shutting down emotion and energy that my Enneatype does. So I've been being told that I couldn't see that process. Process because it's so automatic. And then all of a sudden it was being seen. Well, not all of a sudden. Some other things were happening, but I have had the experience. I have the experience of being present while that shutting down happens.
So, Virginia, do you know the thing? It used to be 10 years, but now it's 15 years. It takes 15 years to be an overnight success.
Oh, right? The Malcolm Gladwell stuff, you mean?
No, actually, it's just kind of a little joke because, you know, people are called an overnight success, but then actually they've been working at this for years and years and years and years. And it's the same way, you know, all of a sudden, after years of diligent awareness practice, all of a sudden, and it is all of a sudden, suddenly you're able to see this thing that you've been practicing to see for years.
Yes, that's so true, Sherry. Yeah. So you can understand the excitement over here on this end.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, and again, it's that thing of it's never what self-hate or ego I says it is. It's never what it says it is, and the thing about unraveling or starting to unravel the shutting down process, it's actually not that complicated. It starts very simply with I realize that I stop breathing during that process or shallow breathe, and that by simply taking larger, deeper breaths, it's like a big component in unlocking the process.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Really important to see. So what you have been conditioned to do, it basically is stop breathing when certain things happen.
Yes.
Right? So then the whole system shuts down, right? Because you're barely breathing. You're just kind of gone into a state of shock.
Yeah.
And in that not breathing state of shock, then it gets labeled something like numbing, right? Because it's true. You're not in touch with what you're feeling because you're not breathing, and the whole system is shut down. And so that's a reasonable label for that experience. But it's not at all what's going on, is it?
Right. No, there's a lot of energy being used to do the shutdown, to keep the breath, you know, from breathing.
Yes. Yeah. Wow.
And
so it does all come down to the breath, huh?
Yes. Yes. It does. And I'll just say one final thing, Sherry, which is in this process of starting to not stop automatically emotion from coming up, it is what I am experiencing is it is pointing me somehow back to my heart, and this may be another conversation, but this other awareness that's related is since I've been it's been a few years now, we were talking about my mother, and then that kind of overflowed into my relationship with my sisters. And I feel actually a great deal of love for my sisters, and there's also a great deal of compassion as I see some struggles that they go through. And long story short, that being able to have emotions now has led me to start to grok that the love I feel for them is projected outward toward them, and it can be followed back to my own heart.
Aha. Uh-huh. Like oh, my
that.
Gosh.
Yeah. Yeah. So this, yeah. So this is going to maybe a theme coming up as we speak over the months, but just wanted to kind of lay it out a little bit.
Wow. That is so big, isn't it?
It's really big, Sherry. Like really big around, yeah, love and having the experience of being love and well, first being tricked out of thinking I can't love or that my heart is shut down, and then all mm-hmm. of a sudden realizing there's so much love for them and mm-hmm. and compassion and wanting so many good things for them, like wanting them to know they're loved.
yes.
And then to be able, yes. and then to be able to realize, oh, that starts with here in this heart. Oh, I mean, it is love. It goes back to that love. It's everywhere. I mean, I guess it's what we're breathing.
Yes, and so the really immediate beautiful part of that is that you get to have all that love.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. And especially with that system breaking down of clamping down, that clamping down system breaking down.
Wow.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah. So I just want to let you know I'm here, I'm practicing, I'm excited to just incredibly excited for the year and for the Anjali and for the emptying and all of it. So
it's a lit up life, isn't it?
It's a lit up life, Sherry, and the lit up for me, I can just say it's around awareness practice. It's like you were saying to a previous caller, the you know recognizing the guy or the gal with the bag of compost. Wow.
Yes.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So all of these things that we've been told, you know, if you get this, if you do that, if you change that, yeah. if only you were more like that, if that were that way, then, and maybe you could do that, and then you'd have what you, and it turned out that it's just being present enough to breathe fully and take in life and recognize what's animating you and that that's what you are. And it's always there for you to experience.
Oh, so beautifully put. Thank you so much, Sherry. Yes.
I am very, very happy for you.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And thank you for practice. And thank you to all of Sangha. I'm so grateful.
All of us doing this together, huh?
Yeah, it's exactly.
Yep.
So I'm going to go right. now because I know I've talked my time here. So thank you.
And all right. Well, I don't have to tell you to take care of yourself because I know you're going to.
Okay. Yeah, that's it. That's right. Okay. Thanks, Sherry. Thanks, Michael. Good night.
Bye.
Mm-hmm. Bye-bye.
Thanks for joining us, Virginia. Sherry, I am having technical challenges here. I have lost my start meeting connection. I've lost my Wi-Fi.
Wow.
Can you still hear me, Sherry? You can hear me. Okay.
I can. Huh?
Good. Let's see. So,
well,
yeah,
you know, Michael, we are so close. You think we should just say we're close enough for tonight? Many a night we go over a few minutes, and this night we go a little less. How about that?
That's another example of genius from tonight's show. So that's perfect. Oh, and I should add before you go, let me just add one thing, Sherry, and that is that East-West registration is open.
Oh, lovely. Lovely.
During our call.
Okay.
So
that's
Seattle
very nice.
On February 5th. Yeah.
All right. Good. Good. That's wonderful. All right. Well, thank you, sir. Good luck on your technology, and it'll all be working by next week, right?
Certainly.
We hope.
I guarantee it.
Okay. All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Michael.
Thank you, Sharon.
Good night.
Good night.